When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That you're better. Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On the Turnbuckle, Episode 2, Series 2, 2019. Thanks for joining us. Folks, Lyle Walshy, g'day to you guys.
I'm first, not Lyle. Why are you saying Lyle's name first? There's a genuine order that we usually go in. There's a hierarchy.
Very good.
Lyle, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, excellent, mate. It's good to have you back in the studio.
It's nice you've decided to wander in today.
Oh, well, I thought I'd better keep you guys in line. I heard last week's show, and well, it was pretty spectacular. I wouldn't say it was as professional as I would like.
Do you know what I did here on last week's show? Someone went into business for themselves with the entrance music.
No, hang on a minute. I gave fair warning to everyone that regardless of what the decision was on the Macho Man versus NWO, the Macho Man's music was going to be played.
That's basically the definition of going into business for yourself. It's a democratic process. I'm the biggest Macho Man fan in the room, and I stand by the process, as disappointed as I was in my pick not getting up.
And you know I would have only played Wolfpack anyway, so I would have played the wrong song.
That's the only reason I'm upset, Tony, because me and JXT would have loved to hear Wolfpack again. So.
What's the news, guys? Great show last week. Thank you. Well done.
I want to... Lyle, you did a great job with that Jimmy Havoc interview. I don't often give you compliments. Nah. And listening back to last week's show, I did notice how few I do give you. I want to give you one. You supported Andy Coyne very well with that interview.
Yeah, you did.
You set that up. No, hey, that's still praise. I'll take that. And being second to Andy it's not a bad thing.
It was a great show last week, though. We had Jimmy Havoc, our biggest guest we've ever had. We had Danders as a guest host.
She's Dermy and Vulcan take exception to that.
Well, they're well known in Australia.
Yeah, too. Good point. Yeah.
And we had Greg from the B+, who we were talking about the potential performance center possibly in Australia, and we did continue that chat over at the B+, so that you'll be able to see a link to that on our Facebook page if you check that now.
Okay, cool. It's there and ready to go. What's on today?
Well, we've got a massive show today, Lyle.
Wow. You say
you speak about big names.
Big names, not just in the wrestling, in the podcasting.
Well, we'll speak to Tali.
Tali's big.
She's just come back from the Black and Brave with Seth Rollins, where she's come back a different worker. And I'm really interested to pick her brain on that. But there is a second guest, who I suppose is okay.
Yeah. Do you want
a guy called Bruce Pritchard?
Brother Love.
Yeah, brother Love. We're really looking forward to that. You guys recorded that last week, so really looking forward to that. He's coming out for a tour here of Australia in the next few weeks, isn't it?
At the end of March, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, I think. But it did.
We will look up those dates and give them to you on the back end of that interview.
That was.
Well, I'm not prepared.
But it did record, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I haven't heard it yet.
Heard it back. I listened back to it because I like the sound of my own voice. Well, with my parts, I am. Bruce left a lot to be desired.
All right, time to catch up with our first guest, though, tonight, guys. And, of course, you mentioned her name, Tali, and she joins us on the line now. G'day, Tali.
Hello, how are you guys?
Excellent, thank you. Excellent. How's your 2019 start been?
It's very hectic. It's been very, very crazy.
You'll be becoming quite acquainted with the airport this year, it looks like.
Definitely Sydney Airport's my best friend at the moment. I've definitely hacked the system. I put up a tweet about I've hacked the system on how to take more than 7 kilos of carry-on onto the plane without getting noticed. So
explain that.
I wouldn't be drawing attention to that.
I know I'm going to get busted now from it, but no, it's simple. You just got to wait until the final call, and then everyone packs up and they go, and you just chill, and then you just rush back on. You just sneak past them.
So you wait till they call your name over the loudspeaker?
Haven't happened yet.
And you are right. 9 out of 10 flight attendants listen to our program, so you've just blown your cover totally now.
Now, I know that I told you that we're going to get you on here to talk about wrestling and things like that, and we will get to it, but you created a furor online in the last week with the great chicken nugget debate.
I'm very passionate about the chicken nugget.
Yeah, but you're also very wrong.
Oh, what?
Explain.
You tell us, Tully, how this came about.
All right. So it actually came about with me and my partner. He reckons that McDonald's chicken nuggets are the best.
And he's
whereas
right.
I strongly disagree, and I believe that Red Rooster chicken nuggets are the best. And it's just the crumbed chicken nuggets are just where my heart lies. And Red Rooster's just never done me wrong. They're crumbed. They're always warm and juicy. And McDonald's chicken nuggets, you can tell that they've just been lying there for ages and they're just not as good.
Can I tell you that Scott McLaughlin, who is a V8 supercar driver who won the championship in 2018, fit 28 chicken nuggets in the V8 supercar trophy, McDonald's chicken nuggets. So just to add to the chicken nugget stats.
That's actually pretty impressive.
So I guess it depends on how you're judging the chicken nugget, because for me, I can't get past the fact that I'd be inside a Red Rooster store and I don't like Red Rooster at all.
I like Red Rooster
chips. Either some of their food's really dry and the rest of their food is really soggy, and there's no like happy medium with Red Rooster.
No, that's pretty true. I kind of only go to Red Rooster to get nuggets. I don't get anything else, really. They have recently introduced popcorn chicken, which is okay. I will say KFC is better, but their nuggets are still winning my heart.
And where McDonald's nuggets win me over is the fact that they've got the superior dipping sauce to the other brands. Are you a non-dipping sauce person? Because my girlfriend doesn't use dipping sauce.
I am a very picky eater, just in general, and I don't like sauces. I eat, like, tomato sauce, and that's about it.
So I don't like barbecue sauce anywhere except the McDonald's nugget barbecue sauce. I had some on the way here.
if I can give a final word, the only thing that I like out of Red Rooster is their Hawaiian pack. Half a chicken with a piece of pineapple and banana that have been deep fried.
It sounds
that is
disgusting.
True. The deep fried pineapple is pretty nice.
Yeah.
So to finish the story, most of the fast food chains bought into your debate.
Oh, did they really?
They did. So it really sparked a lot of opinions of people that I wasn't prepared for. And then everyone started tagging who they believed was the more superior nugget. And then KFC was getting involved, and then Hungry Jack's was getting involved.
Because they were left
I'm
off
still
the
waiting
list.
For. Yeah, I didn't include Hungry Jack's. I've never actually had Hungry Jack's nuggets. So
yeah,
can't
you're missing nothing.
On those. But, all right, that's fair. Thank you. But I'm still waiting for Red Rooster to back me up. I'm trying my hardest to support them, and they're not backing me up on it yet, but we'll get there.
I would have thought Red Rooster would be throwing some free nugs at you because, you know, professional wrestler Tali, the face of Red Rooster Nuggets. That's
I know.
And you will work for Nuggets.
I will. Like a nuggets and a handshake, and I'm good.
You got to go over to Dubai or something like that and work for Gold Nuggets. I think they pay the people over there.
Nah, don't want those. I want Red Rooster Nuggets.
All right, are we going to...
No, we're done.
We're done with the food stuff?
To move on to wrestling.
For now.
All right.
For now, we'll come back.
Just want to touch on your recent MCW debut from the previous weekend. How was that?
Well, second, it's the main roster, main show debut, but yeah.
We call Glow. Yeah. Glow is different. It's
Glow
different.
Is different. Glow was amazing. I was very honoured to have been asked to do the Glow show, and I've heard nothing but good things about that, so that's always good. And then they asked me to come back and do the main show, which is always, I think, every Australian wrestler aims to someday be on Melbourne City Wrestling. And so that was a wonderful moment. And I do remember backstage, I think that was the nervousest I've been in a very long time for a match, because it was either kind of do or die for me. I needed to make a good first impression on a lot of those people. And apparently everything went really well. I was really happy with it. And we'll see what happens from here.
Just with the Glow show, are you hearing great praise from the bar staff from when you and Avery smashed a fair few glasses and there was a lot of beer spilt?
There was a fair few. I remember I tried to throw a glass of Coke at Avery, and it slipped.
She would
out
have avoided
hand.
Anything without alcohol, Avery.
it slipped out of my hand, and then it smashed on the ground. And I was like, all right, off to a great start. And then we made our way to the bar, and then I think she knocked over a cup as well, and that broke. So I was like, all right, sweet, it's not just me then. She's in trouble too if we get in trouble for this. And then we asked for... initially we asked for just a small thing of beer, and then they gave us like the huge pints of beer, which I wasn't prepared for because I actually hate beer. And they gave us like the darker coloured one and the normal coloured one, and so I gave her the normal coloured one, the darker one would be better.
Rookie mistake.
Because, you know, it looked like bourbon, and I love bourbon, so I'm like, all right, sweet, maybe it'll taste the same. And No, I was very much wrong.
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake. The lighter the beer, the lighter the flavour usually.
I've learnt that now.
But I was unlucky. Both times you've come and wrestled for MCW and GLOW, I haven't been in the crowd. And I think it's the only two shows I've missed in 6 months. But I did catch the GLOW match with Avery on demand. And you two had really good chemistry. It was a really fun match. And I've heard good things from a lot of people. But the beauty of those shows is it gives MCW a chance to bring, you know, workers and like you down and have a look at you and give you that opportunity to impress to get onto the main show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's very much what I felt it was as well. It was a moment for them to see what I can do and then see if they would bring me onto the main show. So I was very nervous for that show as well. And I remember just before, or a few hours before the show actually started, it was initially just meant to be me and Avery, and then they changed it because we wanted to do the beer spot and all that, and then they changed it to the Falls Count Anywhere, and I was like, all right, this is it. This is my sink or swim moment.
And any time you can share a locker room with Tessa Blanchard is a really good thing as well, I'm assuming.
Definitely. I learned a lot from her. I actually was on the FWA show with her the day before that, where we tag teamed. So that was an amazing opportunity. And then to be on the same show with her the next day as well was hectic. Just to hear what she had to say and just watch her plan her matches is incredible. I would say one of the main things I actually took away from her, though, was contouring my abs. So thanks, Tessa.
Every female wrestler we've spoken to through our first year of podcasting is so excited about the way wrestling's going now and the future for women wrestling. And you can just hear it in your voice, Tali, at the moment, that the future is exciting. The way you're talking about your wrestling and your love of it, it's really – it catches on.
Definitely. Oh, that's good, because I do love it a lot. And 100%. Female wrestling, especially in Australia and like even like outside of Australia, but especially in Australia at the moment, is just peaking, and we can only go up from here. I think all of the female wrestlers we have in Australia, we have such a strong card of female wrestlers at the moment, and everyone's making names for themselves, and I'm just so proud of everyone.
And you won a title last weekend. Let's not forget that.
Venom Pro.
I did win a title. That was fun. So Venom Pro Wrestling, I pinned Indy Hartwell, so got my revenge from MCW to win that belt. So that's always good.
Yeah, well, she's really disappointed about that. His favourite wrestler is Indy, so that's his gutted to hear you say that.
Sorry. And then one of the guys in the crowd after the show said that I was very impressive right to Indy's face. So I think I'm going to have to start taking on that mantle now. Impressive, Charlie.
Yeah, that won't go down well. But yeah, working indie a couple of weeks in a row, is it when you get in the ring with someone more often, obviously you get a feel for them. Do you feel like indie is someone you could work with a lot?
Oh, 100%. I would say that me and Indy would be able to, given the opportunity, would be able to put on a hell of a match. We're both very tall for women, so that's always great, and we're both very strong hitters. So just me and her, given 10 minutes in a match, I reckon we'd be able to just punch each other very hard, and the fans would go away remembering that match.
And recently you went over to work with Seth Rollins' school, Black and Brave.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know how that came about. What motivated you to make that investment in yourself?
Yeah, well, I knew that I needed to do something outside of Australia. I feel like I was going through this moment where I was in a bit of a plateau and I'm like, I need to change something. And I know everyone was going to Lance Storm and everyone's going to all these popular places, but I hadn't heard many people actually try Seth Rollins School. And WWE is where I would love to end up. I think that's most people's end goal. So to go and learn from someone that was in WWE at the moment and one of their top guys would be life-changing. That'd be opening up so many doors for me, opening my eyes to so many new avenues. And I saved up a lot for it. I was losing a lot of money saving, but it was worth it in the end. And I'm so glad it was the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, you can tell when you've come back, you know, the new ring attire, the new look, the reinvesting of it in yourself. Well, I've got one question about Black and Brave. How was Seth's mum?
That's what I asked Jackson.
She was a sweetheart. I didn't get many opportunities to actually meet her officially. I mean, I saw her a few times. We had a brief talk, but from those moments and from what other people that spent more time with her said, she was a sweetheart.
What do you think was your main takeaway? I don't know, you would have taken away so much from that experience, but what if there's one thing that you'd tell, you know, a worker here that you've brought back from that experience, what would it be?
The main thing was definitely just don't give up. There's a lot in wrestling that I still have to learn and I still need to work on. And a lot of the stuff we were training with at Black and Brave was, quite frankly, things I couldn't do or things I was struggling with. And but the main thing was I just kept going. Even if I knew I wasn't going to do it 100% or I wasn't going to do it as well as the guy before me, I still went in, gave it my all. And from that, even Seth was pleased. Seth even told everyone, like, if you get tryouts, if this thing's happened, then they're not after you to be perfect. I mean, if you're perfect, that's great, but they want you to be coachable. They want you to give up. They want to be able to give you advice and see that you're working on it. So that's the main thing I've come back to Australia with, is be able to take on advice and improve.
And your performances to the audience, they seem to have improved dramatically since you got back. How much of that do you put down to the extra work you're doing, and how much do you put down to the extra confidence that you've gained from the experience?
Yeah, like I would say exactly like you said, extra confident and just being able to get more opportunities, working new people, working more often is definitely the top two things I would credit everything to. Is once you start working more people and like get a new look like I did, get new gear, all of that stuff, your confidence just goes up. And once your confidence goes up, everyone else can see it. And then your matches just look better, they feel better. And everyone else starts noticing that. And then your next minute, you're getting booked every weekend.
And it's vital because you're stepping in the ring. When you are getting booked every weekend, most weekends you're stepping in the ring with someone who you've never met, let alone gotten in the ring with before. So that confidence will carry you a long way.
Yeah, exactly. And even those people I've never met before, never worked before, I can learn new things from them, see how they put together a match, see how what they like to do, what they think would work well for me, and go out and give it a go. And then I'm using those spots in my future matches. So it's always a learning opportunity.
Well, she mentioned sharing a dressing room with Tessa Blanchard, but you've sort of gone one further than that, haven't you? Tag teaming with Tessa in Barrel last year. That must have been amazing also to work in the ring as a tag team partner with her.
Yes, definitely. So Tessa is actually what I would credit as one of my, like, body goals. Like, I think every female wrestler would love to look like Tessa. Like, she just looks amazing. And so being able to be in the ring next to her made me feel a little inferior, but it was amazing just being able to watch her wrestle, being able to hit the tag team and being able to hear everyone cheer for her and at the end of the match hugging her. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I know that Indy credits Tessa with a lot of her success and a lot of her, and she's learned a lot from Tessa. So anytime you can align yourself with someone who, even though Tessa's really young, she's done so much and she's born in the business, you've got to take those opportunities.
Exactly. Take what you can get and, like, ask as many questions as you can ask. Just take in as much as you can, and that's definitely what I try to do.
I just want to take you back. I think it was 2017. I want to ask you what your experience was like. I think you had a four-way ladder match at Hunter Valley.
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
What was that like?
I was so excited. I was very, very excited for that. Everything went well, and I think it was amazing because me and Mortar at that point had worked a lot of together. We put on a lot of good matches, so we knew each other really well. That was also the first time I'd worked Avery, so it was amazing to see what she did and just her whole character at that point. She's so different from what a lot of people are doing, and just being able to watch her do that was amazing. I'd worked Kelly before that as well, but all four of us in that ring had a different character and a different thing that we brought to the table, and to be able for all of us to get that opportunity, I think we were the main event fatal four-way ladder match for the women's belt, was a huge opportunity for us. So I'm really glad that I got to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's I actually need to find that match now.
Yeah, don't worry, you can find it somewhere.
It was very, very good. I like to think back at that.
We were talking a bit earlier today online, and you mentioned that in your home promotion, you may have had an unfortunate wardrobe malfunction. Now, as a female competitor in front of a crowd of mostly, you know, drunk men
of Janet Jackson proportions,
I don't know. We'll go through that. But what's going through your mind in that moment?
I was terrified. I think not the men thing, obviously, was a thing, but that wasn't what I was on my mind with at the time. That was the first time that a lot of people in my hometown had seen me wrestle. And I grew up in a very small town, so growing up, everyone knew that I was that one girl that loved wrestling. Everyone else had grown out of it, and I was that one girl that was stuck in the wrestling phase. Like, I'm going to be a wrestler. And then a lot of them, that was the first time they'd actually seen me be able to live my dream. And so it was me and Morta. I picked her up for my Alabama Slam, and I think she had just put her hand a little bit too low, not like right on my back, put him a little bit more on my butt. And then as she was like squirming to get out of it, she just pulled my pants down, and I was holding her up. I had my arms on her legs and I was about to do the move, and I'm like, I can't let you go. You're going to fall. My pants are down in front of all my friends and family. This is great.
Oh, no.
I was so terrified. I just had to hit the move, quickly try and pull my pants up and pretend nothing happened. But, yeah, there was video evidence and all that afterwards, so that's always great.
It can't get worse.
I think that's the worst wardrobe malfunction I've had so far, and hopefully it's the only one I've had, so...
And the great thing, the career's just only got better from there.
Yeah, exactly. So once the pants went down, you know, people started noticing more.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone told me that earlier.
We do have I got a listener question here that we got through Instagram from laurenmaltz.on. How do you balance training and eating with your everyday life?
Yeah. That's a wonderful question.
It is a really good question.
She's actually my friend.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, she was the one that done all my photo shoots for me. So thank you, Lauren. But so yes, actually a wonderful question. It's very hard. I work full time, try and fit in my gym schedule in the middle of that, try and make wrestling training, try and wrestle, try and eat clean. So it's very, very hectic. I'm very fortunate that my partner is a wrestler and kind of in a similar boat as me. So me and him really try and support each other as much as we can with meal prepping and just trying to encourage each other with eating what we need to eat, especially since one of my goals with wrestling is I'm trying to be like a big, strong girl. So trying to build muscle at the moment. So I've got to eat a lot more than what I'm used to. I'm very grateful that I actually have his support system to be able to eat what I need to and maintain work and balance gym and all the other stuff I got to do.
I actually think with the work hectic and life, this is why Red Rooster have won out. They deliver. They've got a delivery service. That's why the Nuggets have won.
Exactly.
Good point.
Lyle, you had to listen to a question as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I had just touching back on Black and Brave, one of our really big fans on Facebook, Jackson Kelly, he just wants to know, did you meet Seth Rollins?
Unfortunately, my 3 months there, I never got to meet Seth. I only got to meet this random guy called Colby.
Do they look a lot alike?
They do. People get them very confused. But no, he was a sweetheart. He was lovely.
All right, Tali, we really thank you for your time today. Congratulations on the championship you won last week.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much, guys, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. We'll see you down in Melbourne for Underworld. I don't know if you're sure what you've got yourself in for there.
You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. They've sent me through some matches of some of the stuff they've had before, and I think I agreed to it a bit too early, but we're in there now. We'll see what happens.
Just join the claw. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And just before you go, you want to get your social media out there? Oh, I know you've opened up a merch store recently as well.
I have, yes, yes. So you can go and buy the official Tali merchandise at my Big Cartel store, Tali Big Cartel. I actually do have some new T-shirts that are dropping soon. And so keep an eye out for those ones. All the other stuff is in clearance at the moment. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tali Official and on Instagram at Starly with an extra E.
Fantastic, Tali. Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to seeing you down in Melbourne again shortly.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Tali joining us here on the Turnbuckle Break. Back with more in just one tick. The music of Brother Love brings us into our second segment here. First of all, boys, Tali, fantastic little interview there. She was great.
Yeah, really
she
good.
She was. We probably spent half the interview talking about nuggets, but, you know, I'm for some nuggets.
Well, that's all right. No dramas at all. Who wants to do this introduction? It's a pretty special one.
You can introduce it because we're in the interview.
Yeah, you can introduce the three of us.
Ah, yeah, right. Well, I wasn't here, unfortunately. I was up in Sydney working. No, I wasn't working.
Actually, you were camping with your family.
I was watching my son do some baseball. Last week, we had the opportunity of catching up with Bruce Pritchard, or as other people know him as, Brother Love, just one of the big names in the business, as well as the business of podcasting too, just massive over in the States. Let's have a listen to Welshy and Lyle catching up with Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love.
Welshy and Lyle here from On the Turnbuckle, and we are joined by the one and only Bruce Pritchard. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Well, thanks for having me, and yeah, there is only one that I know of, so that'll work.
Some people would say that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. yeah, there can only be one.
It's an amazing opportunity for both of us. We listen to you every week.
Yep.
With Conrad, and it's been an amazing insight. How did the podcast?
Well, thank you.
How did the podcast come about in the first place?
We started it. I worked with Conrad. We worked at mortgages and did some different things. We always would sit up and talk, and he would ask me a lot of questions about wrestling. It's just kind of, hey, you know, what happened when? And we would go back in time, and I would tell him the stories of things that took place that, you know, he had only things he had ever heard is what he read in gossip magazines and things like that. So it's he wasn't very well informed in that regard, and I would give him the stories of what really happened. He looked at me one night and says, man, that's a podcast. And I laughed, telling him that that's something that would never happen. I didn't feel that I would be comfortable sharing a lot of my stories, nor did I think anybody would want to listen and or care. So we started to do it to sell some mortgages, and it really took off. People were listening, and people cared, and we got advertisers that climbed aboard and decided to sponsor us and move forward. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, while we're talking about Conrad, he tends to throw Triple H under the bus any chance he gets for marrying the boss's daughter. One thing I've noticed is he the Triple H of podcasting now that he's married Ric Flair's daughter.
Well, I guess that could be, you know, who knows? I think that it's in vogue sometimes to look at people and say that, well, they did this for this reason without really knowing that person or knowing the situation. And everybody is, for the most part, going to have somebody. So no matter who is put in that position, I think that accusations of people are going to think one thing or another. And it's not necessarily fair when you know the situation. And it's always funny to me that people jump to the conclusions with Triple H. I think that Paul's one of those guys that would be in the position he's in, even no matter who he was married to. So it just happens to be the boss's daughter, and that's the cross you bear when you go that route.
Yeah, I think the most WWE fans now tend to praise Triple H and want him to be in charge. So his ability with what he's done at NXT and with the UK division has proven to the outsider what you guys would have known all along with his mind for the business.
Yeah, and he does have a good head for the business, always has. And the fact that, again, he married into the family and married, you know, into the company, if you will. I think that gives people the ammunition to say, oh, well, he had ulterior motives. He always had designs on doing exactly what he's doing right now, and he had the creativeness, the input, and worked just as hard then as he does now. So, again, people don't know that. They look at him, well, he's part of the clique. Well, he did this. He busted his ass to get where he is, and that's a lot of time jealousy, speaking on the part of people that don't really know.
And he's still busting his ass, keeping himself in very good condition while running two divisions. So, yeah, obviously he's got a good work ethic.
Exactly.
Yeah, the first time we would have, most Australians would have seen your work was probably WrestleMania 5. That's the most memorable one for me as a young person. What was it like, firstly, being on WrestleMania's card, and secondly, that back and forth with Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Well, working with Piper, that was just a dream come true. The ability to be a part of WrestleMania, that was unbelievable. So being in that position and being able to work with the guy that I basically, in a lot of respects, copied and I patterned myself after in Roddy Piper. That was a thrill. It was an honor to be put in that kind of a spotlight. That kind of an event was just, it was a dream come true. It was the best way to describe it. And I was nervous as hell, but it was an awful lot of fun along the way.
And, at this point of your career, what would you say you're more proud of, your Brother Love character or how well the podcast has gone?
Wow. Never had it put to me like that. I would have to say that the way that the podcast has gone, because it's based on just me. It's based on just me and my body of work. So that is pretty humbling for me to think that people have supported the way that they have and really gotten behind the podcast and that they care. I think that's a really neat deal.
Because the podcast, if a lot of people, on paper, it would sound like a really dry podcast, but when you listen to it, your personality and your dynamic with Conrad really comes across. And that's where a lot of the joy in listening it comes from, is the recurring jokes. And I'd recommend anybody who hasn't checked out Something to Wrestle get on it now.
Well, it's something that kind of has gotten over time, but it's easy for us because we just turn on the microphones, we pick a subject and have somebody do the research and we go. So there's not a lot of, before we would talk a lot prior to, now it seems like about the only time that we get to even talk is when we're doing the podcast, because we're both so busy on the other side of things. And that makes it sound like exactly what it is. It's just a conversation between two friends that are discussing a singular subject from two different points of view.
Yeah, it definitely carries the conversation, because some episodes can go from, you know, 2.5 hours, some are 4.5 hours, depending on the subject.
Well, we broke every rule. They told us when we first started with the podcast, whatever you do, you know, the podcast is guest dependent. So you're going to do well depending upon what kind of guests that you have. Well, we don't have guests. The second thing they told us is don't go over an hour. no matter what happens, the maximum length should be 60 minutes. We've done 3 and 4 hour podcasts. I don't think we've ever, except for the first one or two, I don't know that we've ever done just an hour podcast. Then they told us not to curse, and obviously that didn't work out really well either. So everything they told us not to do, we did. And that seemed to work for us and work out all right.
And it sort of led the way, because now a lot of podcasts are now going extended time. So you've obviously been a trendsetter in that.
Yeah, and again, we're not going to extend the time unless the subject matter warrants it. And if there's enough there to talk for 3 hours, then we're going to go for 3 hours. If it's only an hour and a half or 2 hours, that's all we're going to do. And we try to stick to that formula.
Looking back, which have been your favorite episodes so far to talk about? My personal favorite has been the Macho and the Russo episodes for totally different reasons. I just want to know what yours were.
Mine was Houston, because it was just so easy to talk about, and it was a subject matter that we had put on polls for, I don't know how many times. It never won a poll. Even when it was just two things on the poll, it still didn't win. It lost by 1%. And once we did it and people listened to it, it's one of our most downloaded episodes ever. Plus, it's the one that I get the most comments on usually. But it was my life, and it was able to reflect back on me growing up in the wrestling business and my passions throughout this whole journey. So that's my favorite, I think, because it's personal.
And have any of the episodes, have you got heat with anyone because they've taken what you've said on the podcast the wrong way?
You know, the only person in 3 years almost that has ever come back with anything is Vince Russo. I mean, he's the only person.
And he comes back every week, doesn't he?
Well, I don't listen to him, so I don't know. I have him. I don't have him blogged. I just have him muted on my Twitter, and I don't. I try to not listen to the negative. I don't want to. People sometimes dwell on the negative and love to show you all the negative. I choose not to put that in my life and not to have the negative consume me. So I move on. I listen to the positive and those that are supporting the product versus those that want to tear it down.
That's a good one. It's a good message for general life, really.
Yeah.
Well, keeping on the positive, I just recently returned from Japan on a wrestling junket. I had about an hour and a half to kill while I was inside the Tokyo Dome, and I listened to your most recent podcast at the time, and if I could review it 7 stars on iTunes, I would. So it could be better in Japan.
So it was better in the Tokyo Dome.
It was better. It might be just the acoustics. I'm not sure. I thought it was better.
Disclaimer,
yeah,
Bruce.
Well, see, there you go.
Disclaimer, he did.
Yeah, 8.5 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
Disclaimer, he did sit with Meltzer for a couple of hours in Tokyo as well, so he might be conflicted.
Well, see, that's your fault.
Now that we brought up Dave Meltzer, you have a running theme with Meltzer. What's your thoughts on Dave Meltzer and his journalistic integrity?
Well, here's the thing. He has no journalistic integrity. That's unfortunately what, you know, quote unquote journalism has kind of come to. And it has always been on his part based on rumor and innuendo, because he would listen to people that were his friends, that were in the wrestling business, that may have been disgruntled or have their own message that they want to get out. He never spoke to the people that actually make the decisions and the people that were actually involved in the actual day-to-day operations. And even when he did, even when he was given access to facts and figures, he would still choose to print and report on something that a guy that bought a ticket in the fourth row would tell him versus someone that was actually there and knew facts and figures. That's my issue with Dave, is he It's all rumor. It's all innuendo. And when he does his homework, he'll do his homework to satisfy himself. He won't do his homework to satisfy the facts, and he won't do his homework to find out the whole story. And there's always two sides to every story. So that's my issue with Dave. Dave's a nice guy. But I just, for so long, he was the only narrative available to people. And people inside the wrestling business internally would talk about how full of shit he is. But on the outside, you know, there was nobody to debunk it. So when you're faced with all of this stuff, well, this is what happened. No, that's not what happened. That's maybe what people heard. That's maybe the story that got out, but it's not necessarily the truth.
Is it fair to say that your podcast has been good for Dave Meltzer's subscription?
I think it's probably boosted his subscriptions. If there's a negative byproduct of the podcast, it's making him money.
And you're coming out to Australia in March. What can people expect from something to wrestle live in Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne?
Well, it's going to be a one-man show, so that in and of itself is going to make it unique, and you're going to get a little bit more personal, my personal story. But one of the things that we do that really works in our live shows is, you know, I'll be telling stories that I can't necessarily tell on the podcast. Maybe a little more risque sometimes, but just some things that we can't share with the audience, and I like to share in an intimate atmosphere with the live shows. All the caricatures, all the impressions, you're going to get it all. And every show, the beauty of it is every show's different because we have a lot of crowd participation, and I love to get that interaction with the crowd, because when they ask me questions, I find out what they're interested in, and I'll go off on a tangent sometimes or somewhere else just based on a question that I'm asked. So I love that aspect of it. I love being able to get the audience involved and have fun with it and not really know exactly where the hell I'm going. But one thing I can promise is it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
We do already have our tickets, and we are excited about it, I can tell you that.
Awesome.
Which of your caricatures and your impressions is your favorite one to do?
Well, I think the ones that I fall into the easiest are just kind of second nature is Dusty. I do Dusty all the time. I'll be in a restaurant, and I'll do Dusty just because I was around him so much, and I just would mimic him a lot. And probably the other one is Vince. But those two more than any other that I could just fall into naturally and go right into without ever really thinking about it. I probably think about it more now that I do the podcast and I have done it in public so much. But before that, I'd always done them anyway. So it's just my way of telling stories a lot of times.
I got personal for it. I love it when Johnny Gase comes on the podcast, or even Jarrett making his chicken salad. So they're always fun.
Oh boy, yeah. Johnny Ace is another kind of easy, fun one. But you know, every single one of them that I've ever done, I've done to their face. So it's all fair in love and war.
Yeah, I think Vince is my favorite, but they've all got such distinctive voices, so they lend themselves so well to imitation for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just had a long conversation with Vince about a week ago, and I can't tell you how many times I did him back to him.
Has anyone done you back to you?
You know, the writers used to try to do me, but again, theirs was a caricature too. And the writers, whenever they would, I would get on the phone before Vince would get on the phone, they would always kind of come back and go, "Well, anybody got Bruce's suggestion this week? I know, kill it. Too much talk, kill it." And that was their imitation of me, because I would always look at the show and go, "Oh, there's too much talk in here. We need to kill this, kill this, kill this." So that was their imitation. I was a hatchet man.
And then with you gone, there's become too much talk again. They've only just realized they need to kill it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It would be remiss of us not to ask you if you could give us a bit of a brother love before we wrap up the interview, because we did get a few requests from our listeners.
Brother love, what do you mean?
A bit of an I love
you. I love you.
Yes, that's what we were after.
A brother love story?
A brother love story would be fantastic to wrap things up.
Oh, boy. You know, see, whenever you're put on the spot like this, here I am, I'm all these media interviews, and it's funny. It's everybody's there to ask a question. Sometimes I'll get hit with something, go, God, I have nothing off the top of my head. I think my favorite brother love story was just how it all started and pitching the idea to Vince. And I was so gung-ho and I was so into it. And he looked at me and says, I love it. Find me someone to do it. And I was just dead inside. Then I had to go on the mission to convince him that I was the guy to do it. And that is always my favorite one, because I was so happy. I went from elation, being so happy that he said he loved the idea, to great, find me somebody to do it, pal. I was like, oh, man. So then I had to go into second gear and find a way to let him know that, no, the only person that can do this is me. So that's the brother love story.
Thanks a lot. And thank you so much for being so generous with your time. The dates for Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard live in Australia is the 22nd of March in Sydney, the 23rd in Melbourne, which is where we'll be, and the 24th of March in Brisbane, adults only show. Get your tickets now.
Man, I cannot wait. Australia's on my bucket list, and I'm looking forward to getting there and having some fun. Look forward to meeting you guys.
Yeah, so are we. It's going to be fantastic.
All right. Well, you guys have a great one, man. I sure do appreciate it.
FABULOUS.
Well, there you have it, the boys catching up with Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love. Well done, guys. And, Welshy, what are those dates for Brother Love's appearances here in Melbourne?
So special thanks to Destroy All Lines for setting that up for us. We really appreciate it. Friday, the 22nd of March, the Factory Theatre in Sydney. Saturday, the 23rd of March, Thornbury Theatre in Melbourne. Sunday, the 24th of March, the Trifford in Brisbane. Those are all 18-plus shows. Get your tickets at tickets.destroyalllines.com.
Is he doing an under 18 show?
No, he works a bit blue. You like that.
Yeah. Right up your alley, Tom.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's go on to a few other things that are happening in the world of wrestling.
Just really quickly, I guess, because you'll be getting angry at me about now. That's the music that we just played. Yes.
Correct. Oh, we're playing three?
Yes.
Two interviews.
I thought we'd have three songs.
Okay, well, I'll drop that in.
Yeah. So we just want to talk about Japan again, Tony?
Let's just talk about Elliot Sexton reportedly signing with WWE.
Yeah, so I haven't been able to confirm it with anyone, but the dirt sheets are reporting that Elliot is going to be reporting to the Performance Center in February with Jonah Rock.
It's big. It's big for the Australian scene, big for Elliot Sexton, obviously. He's the perfect fit,
Elliot,
isn't he?
Elliot Sexton has every tool to be a big star in WWE.
Yeah, and he's a huge man.
Yeah, I saw him the other day at the after party for WrestleRock. I'm not convinced that we are the same species.
Really?
He has muscles in places that I don't even have places.
It could be a fair tag team, Elliot Sexton and Jonah Rock.
Well, they are a tag team. Yeah. Sex Rock.
Yeah.
They're an excellent tag team.
It's good. And hopefully he's very good at the entertainment side of it as well. If they can bring that to the forefront as well, I think he can go far.
Now, Lyle, you didn't attend WrestleRock.
What happened there?
What do you mean?
You said you were coming.
No, I go back. I never said I was 100% going.
You said I'm 100% going.
That does not sound like
you
something
you tweeted that you're on your way.
Oh, I had car trouble. Yep, my car broke down.
I was in Sydney, so I had an excuse.
No, I had to pick Tony up from the airport because he was coming back from Sydney.
I'm getting sick of this. I'm starting to think you don't like me.
Are you going to Royal Rumble on the 28th?
Well, I'm not going to the Royal Rumble, but we are going to the what's that pub called where they're
Sporting Globe
in Richmond.
Yeah. Yep.
Lyle says he's coming.
I am 100% going.
Can we do a podcast?
Confirm
that.
Probably not this week, but maybe not. They do every pay per view there, and MCW sort of are behind it. So maybe we'll talk to Mikey.
It's on record, Tone, and recorded. 100%, I'm going to that event.
All right, beautiful. I'll be going to that too, I believe, on Monday.
Underworld.
Just go back to Wrestle Rock. What was it like? What happened?
It was good fun. There was probably one of the most violent matches I've ever seen was the death match between Jimmy Havoc and Mad Dog. And, that was quite the violent affair. And there are special shout-outs to Avery and Vixen, who also... they were going into cactuses and Vixen's face went into a cactus and Avery went through a table with barbed wire. So prickly. those girls laid it all on the line.
How was the, I heard there was an after party.
There was an after party.
Yeah.
Did you? And it was fun. Yes, yep. I did go.
Yeah.
Lyle wasn't there.
You were too drunk. I was there.
Now, have we got an announcement here to make in regards to a pause? Now, this is really exciting. We have some amazing news coming out from Underworld, and we don't get too many exclusives on this program, but we've got one right here, guys, haven't we?
Yeah, so the secret venue for the next show, which you're only meant to be able to find out if you buy a ticket, I'm going to give it away.
No, you're not.
They wouldn't let me join the claw. I'm giving it away.
Oh.
If this comes rebellion. Back and Mark Williamson is coming to get us.
The Dream Lab in Reservoir is the venue, and it's incredible. You enter through a false wardrobe, like you're going to Narnia, and then you go into this little laboratory room. It's underground. It's fantastic.
There's a joint like that.
Yeah, so the Dream Lab. Google it. And if you still don't want to go to Underworld, you've got rocks in your head. It's incredible. We're also giving away a ticket.
Are we really?
Yeah.
A ticket. One.
If you want to pay for one, we can give away...
You've got a spare one.
I have a spare one. No. We can give away two.
We can give away two just tickets. We're giving away two one. Tickets.
No, we'll give away two.
We're giving away two tickets.
Why don't I just get the spare one?
No, we
paid for our tickets.
Oh, did you? Okay, then
I'll
pay for one.
We're giving away two tickets to Underworld. All you have to do to be in... with a chance to win it is to share our show post on our Facebook page and tag one of your friends on our page. So
That's very easy.
And you and your friend who you tag, ticket each to Underworld.
We're going to announce that winner next week?
We are.
All right, beauty. Excellent.
Easy.
Upcoming show, Saturday, December the 26th. Did you write that?
Well, I didn't change the December, obviously. It's obviously January.
It's good to see the run sheets haven't changed, don't
they? Oh, goodness me. PCW have their grand final of this summer
series. But you saw it and still read it.
Because I trust you. Never again. PCW have their grand final of their summer series in Ferntree Gully with Lucas Daniels taking on Sid Parker.
First time they've ever wrestled each other.
Really?
Yes.
There's a reason for that. NAW Pure is on in Glenroy.
What's the reason? I want to know the reason, and I'm going to tell Sid.
Because Sid is going to get absolutely smashed.
No, is he? Because Sid... Yeah.
Sid's a fucking dinosaur.
No, I understand that, but he will get smashed. AWF is also on in Marrickville. If you have
and NAW Pure is on in Glenroy. Oh, I didn't hear. I was too busy talking.
Just to make sure, in case you didn't hear that, NAW Pure is on in Glenroy. If you have an upcoming show that you want us to promote, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. We'd be more than happy to oblige.
Can you give us a like and a review wherever you're listening to the podcast as well? Help people
stars,
find hopefully. Us.
Yeah, we will. That's it, guys.
Someone gave us one star.
Just go back to that Sid Parker comment.
Yeah. Smashed.
Do you know Lucas Daniels from a previous... It seems you look after your mates on this podcast a lot, Tony. You're playing favourites,
aren't you? Well, someone has to. You guys hate him.
Yay. Lucas Daniels has done great things in PCW this year.
Also, if you get a chance, check out JXT's podcast. His last two episodes is a double episode interview with Lobo. It's the best Australian podcast episode that I've heard.
Yes.
We could have had Lobo. You didn't want Lobo.
We do want Lobo. Lobo says he doesn't know you to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows a Tom.
He said Tom
Shinecki.
Shinecki or something. Kinecki.
We done?
It's good to have you back, Tony.
No, it's fantastic to be back. We'll do it again. Who we got next week?
Carlo Cannon.
Carlo Cannon.
Cash Money. one of the premier trainers in this country and a fantastic wrestler.
Fantastic. Yeah. Look forward to it, guys. Catch you then. Another episode of On the Turnbuckle, done and dusted. We'll see you again next week.